Yeah, it was really, we had a great weekend. For those that don't know, we spent the weekend praying and fasting. And there's a picture of us yesterday afternoon from the Table Mountain Cable Car Access Road. We were praying over the city, claiming Cape Town for Jesus, and just directly opposite the bay from there, we included Table View and Blouberg in our prayers. And significant praying at high places. Throughout the ages, that's always been significant, and there's always been that spiritual battle almost for the high places. It's a vantage point over a city. It's a place that that really lends faith to your prayers and power because of that as well. And everyone can see the high place from wherever they are. And so in Cape Town, for instance, there, I remember now, or actually remembered yesterday afternoon, is it Kremat or something? It's the Islamic, it's kind of little Islamic places of worship. It's sort of all around Cape Town on high places. And so it's very much, you know, as a place of spiritual authority that you're claiming. And, we made a little makeshift monument there as well. And just as a reminder of the authority that God has given us. And so we believe our prayers are powerful, and we're not going to stop praying. The Lord needs our continuous prayers for Cape Town. But we know that God is moving. We had visions and words of our God, and we know that He's busy moving in Cape Town. We've got other churches in Cape Town as well, and God is adding to the church those who are being saved. And we prayed for us as well. We've got place, room for more people. And we prayed that, you know, the Lord will also bring those here that want to know more of Him. We've got room, and we pray as the Holy Spirit allots to the various churches that He would entrust us with more people that we can walk a road with and disciple. Because that's why we know God has established us here in Tableview, us all as a church, and our vision is to reach the nations and generations, to disciple them, to make leaders, and to plant churches. So, yeah, praise God. It was a really good weekend. And, you know, when you fast, it's not about a religious act or anything like that. It's really about a heart's desire for more of God, to really press into Him first and foremost. And, you know, you kind of, it's an act of abstaining food, maybe all of it, maybe a portion of it, but you're basically acknowledging and recognizing that God is your number one, and that even more than food, you need God. If you don't eat, your body will wilt and die. But if you don't feed your spirit through the Word of God, by coming into God's presence, by fellowshipping with other believers, your spirit will die, and that's of greater consequence. And so really encourage that, you know, as the Lord leads you, to, you know, to practice that spiritual discipline, but for a specific reason. You know, we need to really know what God is calling us for. And you know, I just thought about this afternoon again. When you eat, you get satisfied quite quickly. I mean, you can be so hungry, and then you can start digging into a delicious plate of food like we did this morning. It was awesome there, Benny and Samantha's. And, you know, within half an hour, you can be completely full to the brim. I'm still full. I haven't eaten since breakfast. You know, it was really amazing. But, you know, normally that's not the case. Normally I'm hungry about an hour after I've finished eating. You know, you can be full the 1 minute, and an hour later, you can really be physically hungry again. Food will not satisfy. And sometimes when we fast, we realize how big a deal food is to us, and how sometimes God, even in the rankings, you know, is to play second fiddle to food. It's funny how, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves. But when you actually forgo food and say, Lord, you know, you are my number one, and you actually start realizing by pressing into God that, as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need God first and foremost. We need spiritual food first and foremost. And so after a long weekend, I want to commend you and for being here tonight. It's been a long weekend. Many of you have been with us at all the sessions we had over the weekend. And I really trust and pray that the Lord will bless you and minister something. As I said, I believe He's got a divine appointment with each of us when we come together like this. God is here when we meet in this way, in a powerful way. I mean, He's always with us. But there's a corporate anointing and a blessing when we come together as family. And God loves family gatherings. He's a family man. He's a father. And He wants a family. So He loves this when we get together. And He's got a meeting. He's got something for each of us. He doesn't just hand out to a few of His children and not to the others. So if you're open and willing to receive, God will always have something for you when you come into His presence together as a family. And tonight's message was really triggered by a word that Auntie Louisa Moffat brought on Friday night. And it was in the line of the fact that there's some of us that feel unworthy at times, and we need to recognize that through Lord Jesus Christ, we overcome. We have been, He calls us more than conquerors, and that we can recognize and we should know the authority that we have in Christ, and that we're not victims in this life, and that, you know, we can really stand up, and we can live life to the full, and we can have life in abundance, and we can, you know, really see the kingdom of God come. He's got a definite purpose and calling for each of us. You know, there's not one of us that is left behind or that is, you know, sort of forgotten or anything like that. Every one of us He has deemed worthy, and we are overcomers. And that reminded me of Revelation 12 verse 11, which I'm going to get to just now. But first, you know, the message title tonight is Without Spot or Blemish. I believe it's coming soon. And that you will find in Ephesians chapter 5. And that is where Christ is talking about marriage, talking about husbands and wives, but then He says, you know, husbands, love your wives, as He loved the church and gave Himself for her in order to present her without spot or wrinkle or blemish. So this is one way to express why Christ came and died on the cross for us. It is in order to present us as the believers, as His church, as His bride, to present us perfect, spotless, no blemish, no wrinkle, because Christ's return, often referred to as the wedding, when He comes back, He's going to come back for a perfect bride. He's perfect and He deserves the best. And so He's busy perfecting us, and also around the world, the bride of Christ is being perfected. And we have some way to go, but He's doing the work and He's faithful. Okay, so that's an idea that I just want to leave with you to start off with, that the church that we are part of is destined to be perfect, spotless in every way. But there's an interesting, I don't want to say twist to the tale, but there's an interesting sort of clause to that. We're going to get to that towards the end of the message. I hope not to keep it too long tonight. The first scripture I'd like to share then is Colossians 2 verse 15. All the scriptures tonight are from the New King James. And we're talking about overcoming. We're talking about Christ's victory. And in the previous verse to that, we read that the handwriting of the requirements that were against us were nailed to the cross. And then, having disarmed principalities and powers, He, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus triumphed, defeated Satan at the cross of Calvary. That is when that happened, once and for all. And that's how God ordained it to be. And the picture that we have there, being made a public spectacle of in the biblical times, you know, when one nation would defeat another nation, they would capture the king alive when they could, and they would tie him up behind a horse and kind of make a spectacle of him, taking him through their streets, you know, declaring how they've triumphed over him and his kingdom. And that must be the ultimate humiliation, I think. You know, it's kind of, you know, often you see it also in Western movies, being dragged behind a horse. I mean, that besides being super painful, that's really a humiliating. The pictures of being completely disarmed, being completely helpless, in a sense, being, you know, unable to inflict any more harm ever again to anyone. You are utterly defeated. And that is what Satan is. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we lend too much credit or power to him, in a sense, in our minds, thinking that, you know, he's in an instant able to destroy us somehow. You know, Satan has certain powers, but he has been defeated. He's been disarmed. His weapon against us is temptation. He's called the father of lies. He's a deceiver. And so, he will place thoughts in your head. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that we are to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So he'll put a lying thought in your head and make you think, but you thought that up. He'll put a thought in your head, like Tanya Luisa was referring to, that, oh, I'm unworthy. You know, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Because if the blood of Christ was shed for you, there's no higher value that you can place on your life. The word says that we are not bought with gold or silver, but by the blood of Christ. So, the exact opposite is true. You are most worthy because you've been purchased by the blood of Christ and you've become part of God's family, a co-heir with Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. You're a co-heir with Him. What a privilege. What an awesome honor. That is how worthy each and every one of us is. The blood of Christ is sufficient for the sin of the whole world for all of time. But the word says, whosoever calls on his name will be saved. His blood is sufficient. You know, where does our victory then lie? If we just quickly go through the next scripture in Corinthians 1 and chapter 15. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, when we die, then shall be brought to pass the saying written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O hate, where's your victory? And the next slide. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so our enemy is sin. You know, we are actually our own worst enemy. The devil is the propagator, he's the instigator, he's the deceiver. He's going to come at us. Jesus was tempted. Who are we not to be tempted? And being tempted doesn't mean that you have sinned. What you do with that temptation is going to determine whether it's sin or not. As I said, take it captive. Put it out of your mind. The thought to sin enters your mind. The thought to do something evil. Every sin that has ever been committed in this world was first birthed in the imagination of that person that committed it. Or even the sin of omission, to disobey God when He's asked you to do something. Well, before you didn't do it, you thought of not doing it. Okay, so the battle's in the mind, and you can take that thought captive. You can put it out of your mind, and you can fill your mind with what is praiseworthy. You can fill your mind with the Word of God. I encourage you, if you don't have it on your smartphone, you know, my first Bible was the smallest Bible in the world. It is really small. My eyes hurt after a while, but you can take a Gideon's or something that you can carry in your pocket wherever you go. You can have the Word of God with you, and when that thought comes in, you can just, you have a plan of action. You know, we don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. Have a plan of action for when that temptation that has oftentimes tripped you up, when it comes again, what are you going to do? You're going to take out your Word and you're going to start reading. Maybe you've got a sticker in the front of your Bible with a couple of those just, you know, overcoming verses that tells you that you can do all things, that tells you that you're more than a conqueror, that tells you that you're sharing in the victory through Jesus Christ. You know, and you proclaim those. You know, our words are powerful. Like the rudder of a ship. There's life and death in the tongue, and you need to start speaking life where the enemy is trying to bring death. Because sin, when it's full blown, will lead to death. And as believers, you know, we all do sin from time to time, because none of us has been made holy, completely holy yet. We are being sanctified. We are in process. The Lord is busy completing what He has begun in us. Our spirit has been made new. Our spirit has been made alive. Our spirit connects with God. There's no problem there. It's our soul, our mind, our habits, our willpower. In these things, we still stumble. And until we come face to face with Jesus Christ again, the Lord is busy in us. Busy perfecting us in that sense. And so, we need to have a plan of action when the temptation comes, because it will come. But I promise you, you know, the Word of God says, James 4 verse 7, that if we submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from us. You need to resist, and he will flee. If you're being tripped up in a specific area often, if you successfully resist that temptation, following through with its empty promises, eventually the devil will leave you in that area. He'll try and find something new. He'll just buzz off, you know. So we need to consciously keep that before us and have that plan of action. Not because God is worried about our sin. He's dealt with it at the cross. We're going to check that out now. But it's because we don't want to give the enemy a foothold. The Bible says, do not open a door to him. Do not give the devil place in your life. Because he wants to, all that the devil is good for is destroying. He wants to destroy. John 10 verse 10, the thief doesn't come except to kill, to steal, to destroy. Why should we partake in that? Why should we accept that? When Jesus came, the fulfillment of that verse, to give us life in abundance. We can have that life in abundance. So we have victory. Let's go to the next scripture. We have victory through Jesus Christ. Now in Revelation 12 verse 11, the scripture that was just going on in my mind the last few days, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. This is how we appropriate the victory at the cross. Jesus already conquered, defeated Satan at the cross. Okay, so Satan is a non-issue to Jesus, and as we see here, to all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Testimony implies speaking, implies something audible is happening. You cannot testify if you're not opening your mouth, moving your tongue, and using your vocal cords. Okay. It's about a proclamation. And this scripture, okay, I put some pointers there. Firstly, because I just want to show something in two other scriptures, but they overcame, so it's the victory that we're sharing in. Firstly, where's the victory? Where was it originated and birthed? At the cross, by the blood of the Lamb, when Jesus was crucified. That is where the victory happened. And then for us, how we appropriate that is by the word of our testimony. That's very important. We cannot leave that out. Let me show you in two other scriptures in Romans. Firstly, Romans 10 verse 9. So I've got it in reverse order, because immediately it popped up. But I see this in other scriptures as well, kind of just in reverse order. But it's in 1 verse succinctly as well. those three elements of victory, of the cross, and of testimony. And so firstly, here is the testimony part. That's why I put point three first. If you confess with your mouth, okay, that speaking, confessing, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, referring to the cross, that is where our victory comes from. And then lastly there, that you will be saved. The victory, the overcoming. Okay. So in order to have victory, you need to confess what happened at the cross. You need to believe in that. You need to live in that place. That is where your victory comes from. Do not ever forget that. Our victory is in Christ and Christ alone, in the completed work at the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross and before he gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished. It is finished. The work is complete." Where is Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. A man who is seated, okay, just excuse me for sitting now, but a man who is seated, his work is complete. His work is finished. The work at the cross was complete, was sufficient for us. And then you see it just a few verses later in verse 13, the next scripture. The next scripture. Thanks. Whoever calls, testimony again, confession, on the name of the Lord, read what happened at the cross, shall be saved. Overcoming. Victory. Okay. Your victory lies in your acknowledgement, your confession of what happened at the cross. You cannot be a believer if you are not confessing Christ. You cannot tell me that you're a believer. I love what Angus Buchan does. He says, for the hundreds and thousands of men that come to his men's conferences that did come and that still come to his meetings and so on, he always tells them, people that respond to the gospel and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, he always tells them, almost without fail, now, the first three people that you meet when you go home or tomorrow, tell them about the decision that you made for Christ. See, because there cannot be true salvation if there's no confession. This is part and parcel of salvation. We cannot hide the fact that we are serving Jesus. I've got to get this right now. Waarvan die maag vol is, loop die hart, die maag. I'm thinking of my stomach this weekend. Nee. Waarvan die hart vol is, loop die mond van oor. Okay. If you have Jesus inside, that fish symbol on the cars means Christ inside. If you have Christ inside, it's going to come out. You cannot hide it. There's no secret agents for Jesus that have never mentioned his name. No, we are not ashamed of the gospel. You cannot love Jesus and be ashamed of him at the same time. It's not possible. He's either Lord of all in your life or he's not Lord at all. He's either your first love or you're lukewarm and he'll vomit you out of his mouth. Revelations. So, we will confess our Lord and Savior. Okay, so I love how that kind of echoes there, almost in reverse. I've got two scriptures that I want to share, but a couple of verses. The next one in Hebrews 10, before we finish. Okay, I love this. I just first want to read the whole section, and then we'll quickly chat. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. I'm just going to pause there for a second. Just backtrack there. Okay, so we're talking about Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews, who's largely unsure of who he was, but says a profound thing here. In the Old Testament, being a shadow of the New Testament, the Old Covenant, where the high priest made atonement, there was sacrifice, the sacrifice system was in place, and the people would bring goats for sacrifice, for atonement of their sin, for it was actually covering of their sin. Now the high priest, the priest would look at the sacrifice, they would look at the goat, and that goat had to be spotless. That goat or that lamb had to be spotless. Okay, without spot or blemish. Okay, it couldn't have any funny skit or anything funny or off binky or whatever. Okay, it had to be perfect. Okay, you brought your best. And if it wasn't perfect, it's not good enough. But the priest didn't look at the person. It is assumed, that person's coming for the covering of their sin. It's assumed that they are sinners. You look just at the sacrifice. Is the sacrifice worthy to bring before the Lord? And so they would take the sacrifice, and the blood would then be poured over the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. The high priest would do that on Yom Kippur, once a year, for the nation of Israel as well. And so there was a covering of their sin. But here, the writer, this is in New Testament times. This was written obviously after Christ came, and he's trying to illustrate and emphasize this very powerful point. Because now we're living in this covenant that he's talking about here, and there's no more sacrifice. You don't see us sacrificing animals in church. Okay, we've mentioned this so many times, but this is such a powerful portion of scripture. And he's saying in the Old Testament they had to do it year after year, and there was a continuous reminder of their sinfulness. Okay, continuously reminded, I've got to make sacrifice again. Okay, I'm now not in right standing with God. If I continue in this way, I'm going to be like smited off the face of the earth or something. Okay, I'm not in right standing. And so I love what he says there, because the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. Not possible. Then continuing just a few verses later, in verse 10, just to highlight a few scriptures, the next slide. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Then came Jesus. Jesus was sacrificed for us, for our sin. He was the Lamb of God that was given for our sin. But you see, that is a sacrifice that is good enough for all time. That is not a goat or a bull. That is the Son of God being our sacrifice. Our sacrifice. But once and for all time, that we read, even God overlooked the sins of the past and now commands everyone everywhere to repent. Read that in Acts chapter 17. The blood of Christ is sufficient for all sin, for all time, for all your sin that you've ever committed and all the sin that you will ever commit. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. It's enough. There's no greater price. You cannot add to the blood of Jesus. There's no sacrifice or work that you can bring that is somehow going to make up a deficit. There is no deficit when the blood of Jesus is involved. His blood is sufficient once and for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Say to your neighbor, perfected forever. Some of you don't have neighbors. Perfected forever. Okay. Alright. You have been made righteous through the blood of Christ. You are in right standing with God. You are no longer distant from Him. If you have confessed Jesus as Lord, believed that God has raised Him from the dead, you have been made righteous. You have received that sacrifice for yourself. And now you are perfected forever. You've received at the same time the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, a temple of the Holy Spirit, the arabon, the down payment, the promise of one day being in God's full glory, provided you do not deliberately turn your back on God. But even then, you can always come back. As long as you breathe, you can make a decision for Christ. Now is the day of salvation. whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no clause there. Doesn't matter if you, like the prodigal who once knew his father but walked away, you can come back to the Lord tonight. Do not delay. Do not procrastinate. Now is the day of salvation. Call on the Lord while he's near. Verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Righteous, perfected. Next verse. Now where there's remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. There's no longer an offering for our sin. God, when he's forgiven you, when you receive Christ, what God has chosen to do is chosen to cast your sin and the remembrance thereof in the sea of his forgetfulness. That's the only thing that he chooses to forget. He's got all knowledge, but he chooses not to remember it, not to bring it up again, not to hold it against you. Because what if he did? That would mean there would have to be another sacrifice for your sin. No. There is no more sacrifice for our sin. Why are we still trying to strive and work to earn God's love and acceptance? Why are we trying to add to the work of the cross? What could we possibly add to what Jesus did at the cross? How could we possibly measure up anything that we do in this life to our King, our Savior, the Son of God, dying on a cross for us? What is there that we can bring that can compare to that? And what is there, what sin is there that the blood of Jesus isn't sufficient for? Is there any? No. Blood of Christ sufficient for all of our sin. Let us stop trying to add to that. Let us just receive by grace, undeserved grace, what he did for us at the cross. Forgiveness, righteousness, relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if God would go to that extent, that greatest extreme, there could be no greater thing that he could have done for us. If he would go to that, why, oh why would he ever leave any of us? No, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Believe that. Sometimes you feel alone. You are not alone. Sometimes you think God has forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. Sometimes you think, oh, God cannot forgive me now. No. He has forgiven you. Just be thankful. Just live in that life that he has for you. In that abundance. In his presence. His fullness of joy and life forevermore. Just the final scripture. Next, can forward the next one. The next. There we go. Revelations 5 verse 12, we read, the angels, and it's tens of thousands and tens of thousands and thousands of thousands that are saying this. I cannot shout that loud. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Okay. The blood of Christ, I want you never to forget that. I pray that it would be imprinted in your mind and your heart, your spirit, forever and ever, that the blood of Christ is sufficient for you. Always. And there's no sin in your life you cannot be forgiven for, that the blood of Christ hasn't paid the penalty for, where you can just come to God instead of running away from him. Try coming to him when you've sinned. Because that is what he paid for. He died on the cross when we were miles away from Him, so that we could come to Him. Why now, as His child, knowing His goodness, would you run away if you've sinned? No, we need to run to Him. For any confusion, that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, there's a sin that unbelievers commit. I'm talking to believers here tonight. Every sin has been forgiven for you at the cross. You love the Lord. He's with you. And His blood is sufficient. Let us stop the striving, the religious works, and let us acknowledge that the blood of Christ is enough. Let us declare, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Because you know what? When we try and earn His love, then we are detracting and denying the worth of the Lamb that was slain for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we just want to thank You for this time in Your presence, Lord, for that very special time in worship. Thank You, Lord, that You are near to every one of us, and that Your Spirit dwells in us. That Your Spirit teaches us, Lord, that we can know the truth, Lord, that our conscience bears witness. Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, for what You did for us at the cross. We want to thank You, Lord, for the freedom and the liberty that we have, knowing that Your blood is sufficient for all of our sin, for all of time. That we will never be in a place where You cannot reach us, where Your blood will not redeem us, or where You will not be able to hear us calling Your name. Thank You, Lord, that You are always with us, that You never leave us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood. Thank You for the blood. Thank You that You paid the highest price for us. Thank You that each and every one of us are worthy. Thank You that our value has been determined and set at Calvary. Thank You that we derive our value not by what other people say about us, not by the size of our paychecks, not by our status or class in society. Our value is determined by You. It's who You say we are. Our victory lies in You. Our authority lies in You. In You we have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. In You we can overcome every temptation without sinning, because we've been given grace by Your Holy Spirit to walk away, to resist. So Lord, the good things that we do and that we want to do is not because we need to earn Your love or acceptance, but it's because we already have Your love and acceptance. And because we love to serve You, and we love to honor You, we love to see Your kingdom come, we love to bring glory to Your name. But it's not, Lord, to add anything to the cross. We cannot add anything to the cross. We cannot work for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank You that the way is always open for us to run into Your arms. No matter what we've done, we can run into Your arms, because Your blood has been shed for us already, and there's no more offering for our sin. There's no more offering for our sin. We can bring You love offerings. We can bring You sacrificial offerings of service and time and finances and fellowship and praise and all of these things, but there's no offering for our sin. that has been done. It is finished at the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep your head bowed. No one looking around. I just want to give you an opportunity. If maybe that's you, if you recognize, but you have not fully understood or received the forgiveness of all your sin. You have not fully recognized what Christ has done for you at the cross. You're still trying to earn your own salvation. You're still trying to find your way to God. I want to tell you that God is here, and He's here to meet with you. He's here to save you from all of your sin through the confession of your faith in the completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ. So I want to give you that opportunity. That invitation is always open. But I want to urge you, don't delay. Now is the day of salvation, the Word says. If you want to receive that free gift from God, forgiveness of your sin through Jesus Christ, if you want to receive that here and now tonight, no one's looking around, just raise your hand. I want to pray for us. Is there anyone like that here? Father, we just want to thank you that you've given us even the story of the loving father, the prodigal son, that invitation is always open for us to run back into your arms, no matter what we've done. If we feel that we've wasted our whole life and our life is in a mess, we're in a pigsty like the prodigal son was, and Lord, if we realize that we need salvation and that you are the only way, thank you, Lord, like the prodigal son, we can come running back to you. And we don't have to do anything. We can just thank you and receive you into our lives and receive that forgiveness, confessing what you did for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for each of us, for victory over sin, so that even death has lost its sting. When we die, we go to be with you. What a reward, what a privilege, what a gift, eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to that. But Lord, we first want to live our lives bringing glory to your name, so that everyone will know that they've got forgiveness and peace with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If I can ask the ushers, it's going to be really quick because we're few people, but I'd like for us to just have communion together before we go home. Really enjoyed our time together tonight. When we few people, we make the most of it, and it's a blessing to have this kind of just the sweet presence of the Lord, this intimacy that one can enjoy when there's not too much noise. Thank you. Take a moment to consider what the Lord has done for you at the cross. We want to thank you for dying for us on the cross, Lord. We
so good to each of us, Lord. And you love us so much. We cannot really comprehend that, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you endured that awful, that most awful death. You were thinking of each of us, Lord. As you carry that cross, Lord. You said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Lord, you've always loved us. And you love each of us here tonight, immeasurably beyond what we can imagine. You love us and you just want us to know you. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you have paid the price in full so that we can know you. Thank you. You gave us your very best. You gave us your all. And you deserve our lives. Lord, sometimes we all feel so inadequate and unworthy, but we thank you, Lord, that we are precious to you. Thank you that you love us with a perfect love, unfailing, unconditional, eternal. I pray, Lord, for each one here that, Lord, that you'll just continuously give us greater revelation of how much you love us, Lord. We know you don't just love us, you love everyone. So thank you that we can take that good news to everyone, Lord. Jesus, your blood was sufficient for the sin of the whole world. You died for everyone because you love everyone so much. Lord, we don't want to keep that a secret. We don't want to cover or hide or be ashamed of what you did for us, Lord. May we grow in that boldness to shout it from the rooftops. Our Redeemer lives. Jesus Christ died for each of us. And he's risen. The grave is empty. Thank you, Lord, that you now live inside of us through your Spirit. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us of every sin that we've ever committed and will commit, Lord. And each of us know, we know what sins you died for us on the cross. But Lord, we thank you that there's no guilt in this life. There's no more shame because you've paid the price in full, and so we can rejoice. We can rejoice in knowing you and what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for real life. Thank you for joy and peace. Thank you for your love, Lord. Lord, we honor you. And we recognize tonight as we have communion together, symbols of your body and your blood, what you did for us at the cross. Thank you that there's no more offering for sin ever again. Let us eat together. String together. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for tonight. We'll have a blessed week. Looking forward to seeing you guys again over the long weekend. Remember, if you guys are here, there's a movie night at Johan and Tanriana. You can also contact us if you need directions or whatever. And yeah, remember Thursday night prayer is going to be at our house, because as you can see, the other church, they're busy shooting a DVD this week, so we don't have the use of the venue until next Sunday morning, 8:15. I hope to see you. God bless you. There's some delicious cake. Who brought the cake? Niku! We love you, Niku. Hallelujah. That cake has been smelling so good tonight. Amen. Yeah, so happy birthday, Niku, from all of us. We bless you. Yeah, just bless Niku with, just speak something good over him before you go tonight, and especially thank him for the cake. So please have some cake before you go. Bless you guys. Thanks.